We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me right now, a guy that is a very busy man. He's watching some kind of an event that I have no idea what it is. It's Southampton Tottenham, and that's why he wanted to... Tottenham, whatever it is. So he wanted to make sure that was over before he came on with me, and that is Frank Isola, now of The Athletic. What is Tottenham?
Tottenham. Come on, man.
I know.
What are the rules? Are you talking about the rules that they're going to have try it in the Atlantic League?
No. The NFL every year allows teams to propose rule changes in the NFL. And a lot of them are typical, and they're boring, like more challenges, this and that. There's a few that have come out, and some of them are very, very interesting. That's what I was talking about. We did talk about the Athletic League changes they're trying.
Atlantic.
What did I say, The Athletic?
What did you make of the one about moving the mound back to 62 feet 6 inches as opposed to 60 feet 6 inches?
You know what? I make nothing of it because I have no idea what the results are going to look like. I don't think anybody does.
I was at this dinner in January, it was, and Dale Barra, Yogi's son who played for the Pirates, played for the Yankees, he was mentioning that when he played baseball, and he was on that 79 Pirate team that won, he was claiming that when he played, there might have been like between like 5 and 10 guys that could throw like 95 or better. Now he says, you know, like every team has guys like that.
And I think that's the thinking behind moving the mound back,
exactly.
Potentially. Yeah,
it's just like the natural like evolution of, you know, pitchers getting stronger. And I don't know. I mean, you know, the NBA, they moved the 3-point line back. So it would, you know.
You know what the difference is? And I've talked about this. The 3-point line is still a relatively new invention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The mound and distance has been there for 100 years now. So it's...
I know.
Here's the difference with the NBA. And I've actually brought this up. I would widen the court. That I would do. Guys are bigger. Guys' feet are bigger. It seems like more times guys are called for standing out of bounds or stepping out of bounds accidentally.
Especially on that corner three.
Of course on that corner three. You don't have that much room. So I would be, as far as NBA changes, I would definitely widen the court. And you could go extreme and say, raise the rim. You know, move it up a little bit. I mean, there are things you can do in the NBA as well that could be interesting. I just don't think there's any motivation for the NBA to do those things.
No, and I do think at the very least, like in college basketball, they should have the 3-point line either be the NBA line or at the very least the international line. The college game, the 3-point line is way too close. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you, and I wonder, like, the NCAA is all about entertainment, ratings, and making money. But it doesn't do the kids any favor by having the 3-point line as close as it is. But if you move it back to NBA standards, you're going to affect the college game in a way, while it'll help the kids because it'll get them better prepared for the NBA, at least those small percentage of kids that are going to the NBA. I don't know if it's going to help the product, and I think that's why the NCAA would have no motivation to do it.
Yeah. My big thing about the NBA, just like college is with the timeouts, I think most of the timeouts should just be like a 30-second timeout. And maybe in the last 2 minutes, the timeout should just be to advance the ball. And I have a big issue with NBA overtime. There's no way an NBA overtime should be 5 minutes. I would either have it first team to 7 or maybe play 3 minutes and every team's only allowed to make one sub. Like, my thing is, like, let's say you're a bad team and you go on the road and you somehow tie Golden State. So that means that you either probably had a chance to win or they almost beat you at the end of regulation. Now I got to play them another 5 minutes? You know, I don't know. And like, 5 doesn't go into 48. I just think it's too long of a period to play, especially during the regular season.
I understand.
Playoffs, maybe that's a little bit different.
I think
during the regular season it's ridiculous.
I don't hate that it's 5 minutes, and trust me, as a Net fan, I've had a lot of experience with overtime because they've played a ton of them, but I also wouldn't scream and yell if they changed it. Did you ever hear Rick Barry's radical idea about changing the way games are scored in the NBA? Have you ever heard about this crazy idea?
Yeah, that's sad, that system that they want to use.
The system where you win a quarter or you win a half, that thing?
Oh, that's what he... Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about that other formula that they had come up with.
Oh, no, no. Well, tell me that idea, and then I'll tell you the other one.
Well, I'm going to forget it now, so forget it. It's a complicated formula.
You were hoping I was going to bail you out with that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, his was basically to cure, because one of the critiques of the NBA, and I don't buy it. I'll watch 48 minutes. I'll watch the whole game. Is that, oh, only the last 2 minutes matter. So he said, have a half, and there's a winner, kind of like a tennis match. And if you win the half, and then you win the second half, you win the game. If you win the first half but lose the second half, then there's an overtime. So it's almost like you're restarting the game after one half. That was his radical idea.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I like that. I just think there's a way to make the games move along a little bit quicker. I just think there's too many timeouts. I went to a Villanova-Seton Hall game. I think it was the week before the Super Bowl.
Speaking of which, they're about to tip off right now, Villanova Seton Hall.
I mean, there was a timeout every 2 minutes. It's like, and you know, the referees blow the whistle. There's just like no flow to the game. I think in the NBA, you get a little bit more of a flow to the game sometimes than you do with college basketball.
I don't think you're wrong. The problem is college basketball and the NBA, the games take 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes. It's so much quicker than the NFL and baseball as it is. So the idea of speeding it up it feels unnecessary when it's such a quick sport to begin with.
You know, it's funny. I drove up to the Syracuse game against Duke. Like I keep saying, I'm the only idiot that drives a 7 hours round trip not to see Zion Williamson play. And that, you know, there was a 6 o'clock game and it was over pretty quickly. That's because Duke ended up kind of blowing them out in the second half. I mean, those 6 o'clock, I've been to 2 6 o'clock games this year. One was Georgetown, Villanova down in D.C., and that game was over pretty quickly. I didn't think I would like that 6 o'clock start. I kind of like it. Kind of leaving the arena before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Seton Hall and Villanova tipping off right now at Prudential Center in a game in which I still think Seton Hall could use to impress their resume. They only have 17 wins this year, but they've had a lot of good wins. They beat Kentucky. They beat Maryland. They just beat Marquette. They just tipped off against Villanova, so I may be distracted over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm trying to get – I'm hoping that it's not going to happen, but I'd like to see both Patrick Ewing and Chris Mullin get in the tournament, but I don't know. I don't think Georgetown's going to get in. St. John's might have a better chance.
Yeah, St. John's definitely. Georgetown I'm not sure about. Let me ask you a few Nick questions, and then we'll talk about teams that are relevant. Kevin Knox. I want to start with Kevin Knox because he's very young, and so when anybody looks at his game in year one and criticizes his efficiency or his shooting or his fouls that he's given or his defense, I think there's a knee-jerk reaction to say he's a kid, he's only 19, and it's true. The problem is, Frank, we said that about Frank Ntilikina, and now it looks like it's never going to work. Give me your impression year one of Kevin Knox.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, you talk about Luka Doncic as 19. You say, well, you know, he's different. He was playing in a professional league over in Europe. Okay, whatever. But he's still 19, and he just looks like he's going to be more of an impact player. You know, when you talk to people around the league, scouts, coaches, they think that Kevin Knox doesn't react quickly enough on the court. He doesn't make, like, quick decisions when he's out there. He's obviously very athletic. The thing that would concern me about a lot of these guys, and I do think Mitchell Robinson's kind of been the one guy that's maybe separated himself from the group. You know, somebody has to put up stats for a bad team.
The Knicks
do have the. You know, it's funny. I say this all the time, Evan. We're always being told, and you know, to the Knicks' credit, they've convinced everybody that the results don't matter this year, right? Yet every time, like if you're following a Knicks game and watching it, and then you look on social media, the Knicks are always tweeting out, Alonzo Trier has become the first Knicks rookie since, you know, fill in the blank, and it's Mitchell Robinson is the first Knicks player to have this many blocks. So they keep telling us that the results don't matter, yet they're telling us that the stats within the games that don't matter are this important. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
No, I understand.
It's like ridiculous. You know, the stats, like these guys are putting up stats for a 13-win team. Yeah, I mean, this is like unprecedented how bad the Knicks are. That's not to say that some of these guys can't be contributing players. But, you know, when Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid finally started playing for Philadelphia, they weren't winning 13 games. Everybody likes to use that as an example. Well, look at the Sixers. Look what the Sixers did. Yeah, but it wasn't like Embiid and Ben Simmons were the two guys playing on the teams that were terrible.
Right.
The guys that were playing on the teams that were terrible are no longer on Philadelphia anymore.
Right.
Except for, I think, T.J. McConnell.
Right.
So the fans keep saying, well, no, Philadelphia did it. Really? Same thing with Phoenix. Well, I looked it up the other day. Phoenix is in the darn lottery all the time. Where are they going? I think it's way too early I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Kevin Knox isn't going to be a good NBA player, but also don't sit there and tell me that he is. Based on what? What are you basing it on?
No, and to your point, I always say this because it's very difficult to figure out, and because I've seen it as a fan of my own team, when you're bad, what do the numbers mean? And two guys jump out at me. And I don't mean to insult this guy because he had a nice NBA career, but there was a year where Kendall Gill with the Nets averaged 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, nearly 2 steals. Those are awesome numbers. Those are all-star caliber numbers. Yeah, he did it on a Net team that went 26-56.
Yeah.
And whenever he was on a good team, those numbers were never nearly as good. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who's out of the Net rotation, Frank. Yeah, because they're a good team now. When they stunk and he was putting up good numbers, it was tough to figure, okay, well, what's his role on a good team? And I think that is a very fair question to ask about all of these young guys on bad teams who put up big numbers, no doubt.
Well, and we'll give you, how about this for an example? Look at LeBron James this year. There's no denying that LeBron James, arguably still the best player in the league, and there are nights when his numbers are ridiculous, but he's not doing anything on the defensive end.
Right.
And he clearly, since he's come back from that injury, he's not having an impact on winning because the team is headed in the opposite direction. So the other night, you know, when he had those numbers and, you know, I saw someone say, you know, talk about, well, he's still averaging. Look what he's averaging this year. All right. But it used to be a time when, what was it, about 2 years ago, every time you're on social media, someone would have a clip of James Harden basically not trying on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those videos are of LeBron James.
Yeah.
Not trying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the numbers on offense look great. So the fantasy numbers, everybody goes nuts. He's not doing anything on the defensive end. I mean, there were nights, the game against Memphis was embarrassing that he had when he didn't try.
Yeah.
Then you had the game this week when, how about Kyle Kuzma actually had to push
him. Yeah, he pushed him into the defender.
Close
out on a three, right, yeah.
Exactly.
That was hysterical, actually. It looked like they were running into each other, and then Kuzma pushes him. And then, and I know this isn't defense, there were two other bizarre head-up-your-rear-end LeBron moments. One, the inbound pass under the basket, in which he throws it off the back of the backboard. And then the other one, in which he lets the ball kind of move across the timeline.
Yeah.
And then, as the defender comes in to say, let me go try to get the basketball, he tries to pick it up, and it's out of bounds. Two costly turnovers. He's in a different place right now. He is not reacting well to this adversity.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that play against Phoenix, and that was, I believe, a week ago. I think it was last Saturday. And, you know, for LeBron James, you know, you can go to high school games, boys and girls. You can go to college games, professional games. I've never seen that before. I think I may have seen it, like, with a U8 or a U10 basketball game. This is LeBron James, who is, you know, his basketball IQ is through the roof. He inbounded the ball, not even under pressure, and hit the bottom of the backboard. And here was the other thing about it, which was interesting. Brian Windhorst, about a year ago, wrote about LeBron, how smart he is, and he can remember stuff that happened. He could, kind of like the coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, where he remembers all this stuff. Do you know that after the game, when they asked LeBron about that play, he said, well, yeah, you know, I was trying to throw the ball over JaVale's head because I think it was they was trying to throw it to Brandon Ingram, and he said, I was trying to throw it over JaVale McGee's head, and that's why it hit the bottom of the backboard. It was Tyson Chandler. Like, that's how, like, that, you could say it's a small thing, but to me, it's kind of like how out of it he is. I think he's completely checked out.
Yeah.
I really do. I think ever since they didn't get Anthony Davis, he's gone in the opposite direction. He's obviously alienated a lot of his teammates. And I also think it's unfair, you know, because I'll be the first, you know, get off my lawn kind of person with all these young players today. But I've been sticking up for the young players on Boston, Rozier, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the young players on the Lakers, especially Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. Like, everyone's trying to make it seem, well, they don't know this and they don't know how to win. They actually have been playing well for 2 weeks. It was LeBron and those veteran players that LeBron wanted on the team that weren't playing well.
Yeah.
It was just, and the media was kind of going along with it, blaming, like, oh, yeah, it's the young guys, the young guys. Not really.
No, it's, and I think what's happened with him, it's not that he isn't smart or anything like that, or he doesn't have a high basketball IQ. I think you hit it. I think he is absolutely checked out, which is probably a bigger indictment of him than ripping his basketball IQ, to actually say to a guy he has checked out when his team still had a shot to make the postseason, and he's not used to it. You know, the first 2 years of his career, he didn't make the playoffs. It was okay. He was a teenager. He was the savior. You were seeing improvements in Cleveland. This is a world he is just not used to, and he's responded terribly to it.
Nick, he's not going to Miami unless Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are signing it. He's not going back to Cleveland knowing that Kyrie can be a helpful player and knowing that they had the number one overall pick where they could make that trade for Kevin Love. He went to L.A., and maybe he thought that Paul George was going to go there, but he still went there knowing he was joining a young team. And that has never been his M.O. So, in my opinion, he never went there. It was not a basketball decision.
No.
And that's my thing about Kevin Durant. Do I think there's a chance that Kevin Durant can come to the New York Knicks? Absolutely. My only concern, though, like, if I'm the Knicks, of course, if Kevin Durant's going to go there, you want him and you hope that it's going to be great. But there is a part of you that wonders, is this really going to be a basketball move for him? Because he's in the greatest basketball situation he's ever going to be in. You know, so, like, to leave that, now you could tell legacy this and all this other stuff. I think it's more about kind of like building his empire.
Yeah.
You know, it drives you nuts when you hear
it's true.
All that stuff. But that's, you know, he was on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. It was all about this, you know, becoming, you know, branching out and doing other things. I'm not sure that's so great. Like, Laker fans and the Laker organization, they didn't sign LeBron James so he can become a movie mogul.
No,
and it's
I agree.
The same thing in New York. You know, if the Knicks invest all this money in Kevin Durant and the fans are going to invest, you know, all this emotion and Kevin Durant coming there, Knicks fans aren't going to care what he's doing off the court. That's not, they don't want to see that. They care about help us win a championship, and that's what the Laker fans are saying. I don't care what movies you're going to make, Space Jam 2. That's not why we pay tickets to come to games. We want to watch you help us get better and win a championship.
No, and I think that's the fear. What's happening right now with LeBron in L.A., and I'm so sick of hearing, well, it's like you said, diffusing this idea, it's the young player's fault. A lot of it's on LeBron. The other thing I'm sick of hearing is, well, the West is so tough. Well, this Laker team hasn't beaten bad Western Conference teams, and they've actually been worse or as bad against the East as they've been the West. So it's not like, oh, my God, it's the Western. That's not it. They have had issues that go beyond that, and I think that if you're the Knicks, you don't say no to Kevin Durant. I think
nope.
We could all agree with that. They are
nope.
doing nothing wrong if Kevin Durant, even it's for it's all the wrong reasons, wants to come here. But I definitely think it's a warning that if he comes here, his first thought isn't legacy and basketball. It's everything else. And I think when you first sign him, you don't care. When you care is if this happens. If this mess that's going on in L.A. happens in New York City, Knicks fans, rightfully so, are going to turn on Kevin Durant quicker than they've turned on anybody in this town.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I wrote about this after Adam Silver came out and said NBA players are generally unhappy. The first two players I thought of were Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And it just so happens that those are two players that the Knicks are linked to. Same thing with the Nets and the Clippers and the Lakers. You know, these are teams with cap space who, you know, you could see those, you know, one or two of those guys potentially going to. And it makes you sit back and think, all right, so Kevin Durant, you went to the Warriors to improve your basketball situation. It's actually worked out better than you could have imagined because you've been to two straight NBA finals, you've won the championships, and you were the finals MVP. And there are nights when you're not going well, and you're surrounded by Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, two incredible players who don't get wrapped up in all the nonsense that all the other NBA players get. Well, I shouldn't say that all of them, that a lot of players get wrapped up in. They don't care if it's my team, it's your team. They're not jealous of other teammates. He's so lucky to be playing with guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And maybe the fact that their dads played in the NBA, so they were kind of around that environment at a young age. But they're so lucky to be with those guys. I mean, do you really think you're finding a better situation anywhere else? I mean,
no.
That's the part. Like 10, 15 years, 20 years from now, no one's going to care. That it's, when people talk about how many championships Kevin Durant won, if he won five, I don't really think it's going to be, he left Oklahoma City.
Right.
Now you might say that. I don't think people are saying that 10, 20, 30 years
ago. Yeah, I think it's going to be talked about differently because I think it already sort of has with LeBron. Because I think when he first went to Miami and joined
That's
Wayne
right.
Wade and Chris Bosh, there was this, no one's going to really think that highly of these titles. I think we do think highly of the titles. I think they're titles. Titles are titles. Are you hearing, because it's kind of been quiet lately about this free agency, and at least here in this part of New York City, in Brooklyn, we think about the playoffs and this big road trip, which I'll ask you about. With the Knicks, it's about the lottery, it's about free agency. Has the rumblings continued about this Durant-Kyrie Irving thing? Has it gotten stronger? Has it gotten weaker? Is it about the same? What's kind of the temperature right now on those guys' interest in coming to the Knicks?
Well, you keep hearing, to me, it's really the three teams. It's the Clippers, it's the Nets, and definitely the Knicks. Now, I'm still wondering about the Lakers. Are the Lakers going to kind of, I'm going to use the word settle for maybe like Jimmy Butler or DeMarcus Cousins, but that's still out there. When you talk to people around the league, a lot of people think that those guys are definitely leaving. Mm. And will a lot depend on how the season ends? Absolutely. But you do have to admit, like Kyrie and Kevin Durant, but especially Kyrie, the way that he's like acted this year, and he just like looks so unhappy when he walked into the arena last week before that game on Sunday, and he said, you know, this, I'm not going to miss this bleep when I'm done playing. I would hope that Adam Silver called him up and said, hey, listen, we all have tough things in our jobs. You know, you walking into a ring before the game being filmed, I get it. Maybe you don't like it. Suck it up. You know, the television networks are part of the reason why you're making the ridiculous amount of money that you can. Kyrie's handled it. It's been very strange the way that he's handled it. Then the next day he tried to do damage control. Then he went into this long explanation. I didn't get into this to be in front of cameras and be a celebrity.
Yeah, he made a movie!
Dude, you're okay, Uncle Drew.
Right.
Really? That's you saying that. So he just says things that, I think he is a smart guy, but sometimes I think he believes that he's a lot smarter than he is. Like, that he could just say stuff and you're just gonna nod your head and say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes he makes absolutely no sense. The flat earth thing.
Yeah.
That's saying I didn't get in this to be in front of cameras and be in celebrity.
Well, tell me if this makes sense, because I am becoming more and more steadfast as the moments go by. And I don't know how this regular season or playoff potential run ends for the Nets. There is no way, Frank, I'm sorry, that I am going to get rid of D'Angelo Russell, who is a freaking all-star this year, who's got a great attitude, who buys in when the coach was benching his ass at times in the first half of this year and still waved the towel and a smile on his face. I am not getting rid of D'Angelo Russell for Kyrie Irving, who, by the way, is hurt every other day and has that weird attitude. I'm sorry. I know he's an all-world talent. He's this, he's that. Uh-uh. D'Angelo over Kyrie. Am I crazy?
Nah, I tend to agree with you. When I bought into D'Angelo Russell, it's funny you mentioned that. That game that they had against Houston, which was really one of the best NBA games this season, that game that they had on the road, and they came back, and he wasn't part of the comeback. He was on the bench. And just watching his reaction and the way that he was into that game, I was like, you know what? That to me was as impressive as anything that he's done on the court, and he's been incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
All season. But because, you know, as a young player, that sometimes the young players think, okay, I have to act like that I'm somehow upset that the coach doesn't have me in the game and I should be in there. He was the opposite. He could not have been happier for his teammates. I thought it was great. And I agree with you. The guy has had a great... How are you going to justify not trying to sign the guy? He's been tremendous.
He's had an incredible
season.
The only justification, I asked this to Ian Eagle 3 weeks ago, and I'm not saying this is a realistic scenario at all, but you're in that meeting with Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant says, I'm going to come to Brooklyn, but I want Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I think that's that decision that's going to make you feel dirty, but you probably acquiesce. And I hate saying that because I would feel dirty doing it, but Kevin Durant is a great player. He may be 31. He's a great player. He may want to come to New York for all the wrong reasons. He is a great basketball player. And I think that scenario is the scenario where you probably do it, as dirty as it may make you feel, you know?
Yeah, and that's it. But the thing, too, is, like, for Kevin, say Kevin Durant came by himself to the Brooklyn Nets.
You could
justify because of what's there. Kevin Durant, I can't imagine for the life of me that Kevin Durant would go to the Knicks by himself without bringing somebody else there, because he's going to take this third. They're going to be better with Kevin Durant, no question about it. But now he's really going to have to carry the load.
And
it's the same thing kind of like what LeBron's going through this year. It's not as easy all the time as you think. You want to say it's Eastern Conference? All right, maybe that would certainly help a little bit. But Kevin Durant, after spending the last 3 years on the best team in the league, one of the greatest teams in the history of the sport, you know, now you could potentially be joining the worst team in the league. That's going to be a big one. He's not. There are going to be nights where he's going to be looking and saying, "Man, I wish I had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson carrying me tonight. I really don't have it." That's not going to happen in New York unless he brings somebody else with him.
Well, and I think that's where the Clippers and the Nets, if he would ever consider the Nets, are a threat, because the Clippers are going to be a playoff team. And I got to admit, Frank, I'm stunned by it. I think Doc Rivers has done a marvelous job. They traded their best player. They traded away Tobias Harris, and yet they're continuing to win games, and they're going to be a playoff team. I think that's an incredible accomplishment.
No, and it's great, too, because our guy, Danilo Gallinari, who's hurt all the time, finally has been healthy this season, and he's had a great year. And it's a great point you bring up. They traded their best player. So that's the other thing about LeBron. The team above him is Sacramento, you know, who they have the longest drought not making the playoffs. Above them, you know, you have San Antonio, which traded its best player, Kawhi Leonard, and above them you have the Clippers, who traded their best player in February.
Right.
And those, you know, and it looks like San Antonio and the Clippers will likely make the playoffs, which is a great season for both of them. But to your point, though, I do think as of right now, there's more on the Clippers and the Nets. Now, could that all change if the Knicks, you know, especially if the Knicks get the number one pick? Then then the options are you could potentially trade that for an established player. So things can change pretty dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we saw the Cleveland Cavaliers do that. They won the lottery, signed LeBron, and turned the number one overall pick into a pretty darn good player in Kevin Love. And I've said this to Knicks fans, I almost expect the Knicks to do that if Durant comes here, because as great as potential as Zion Williamson has, I just assume a 31-year-old Kevin Durant is going to want to say, yeah, that's cute, go get me a veteran player. Go turn him into Anthony Davis and let's go. I doubt he's going to want to tutor a teenager.
Yeah, I like it. Somebody had said, listen, there's 9 million of these shows, but somebody had said that that Kevin Durant wants to play with Zion Williamson. Kevin Durant plays with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson right now. You mean to tell me that he's going to invest his, the prime years of his career playing with a guy at Duke who now, by the way, would be coming off of a knee injury? And I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Zion Williamson, he might not be a good player. Chances are he's not going to come into the league and be lights out. It might take 2 or 3 years. That's why LeBron did that with Andrew Wiggins. It ended up being the smart thing to do. Got Andrew Wiggins traded and brought in, like you said, Kevin Love, an established guy, and fit better with LeBron as a stretch four.
Sure.
LeBron, hey, I'll say this about LeBron. He wanted to trade Kyrie Irving for Paul George. He probably was onto something there, especially like Paul George is playing this year. And he did kind of orchestrate that trade to get Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins. So LeBron has made some moves that probably aren't that good. And those two moves, one got made, one didn't, were pretty smart on his part.
So you're saying LeBron James, better GM team president than Phil Jackson. Is that what
you're saying? He probably is. It was a great line in Dave McMenamin's story. Now, Dave's been with LeBron in Cleveland and L.A., so he's going to be somewhat favorable to LeBron. I'm going to say that somewhat facetiously. He had a line where they talked about the minute restrictions, and he said, but LeBron will be given leeway to choose if he wants to stay in a game longer. It was like breaking news. LeBron's calling the shots in L.A. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
And by the way, one other thing about the Lakers, not to pile on them a little bit, but everyone talks about the dysfunction of the Knicks, and it's been like that for a while. I think this year it's probably calmed down a little bit, even though the losing hasn't. But think about the Lakers, the situation you have. You got Jeannie Buss is, Luke Walton are in one corner, and Kurt Rambis is there, and I'm sure Phil Jackson somewhere lurking in the background. You got Rob Pelinka and Kobe. Rob Pelinka's the GM. You got LeBron and Rich Paul, and then you got Magic Johnson and, whatever loyalist he has in the organization. You don't think that thing is a three-ring circus?
Oh, no doubt.
All those different voices there?
Good, they deserve it.
It's almost like it doesn't, as much as the Knicks have been killed over the years for being dysfunctional, it's like the Lakers are an absolute three-ring circus.
Yeah, they're revving it up. They have, they had so much success for the super majority of their time in the NBA that these 5 or 6 years are going to start to add up. And as they get to a decade and maybe a decade and a half of being a failure, it'll only get worse. They'll face even more criticism. But before I let you go, I'm nervous, and maybe it's because I'm just a fan. The Nets are a game over 500. They have not played well in a month. They are fully healthy. They've got these two big games before the 7-game road trip from hell. Do they hold on in these last 15 games, in your opinion, and do just well enough to hold on to a playoff spot?
I think they will, but I do agree with you. If they could beat Atlanta and then come back and beat Detroit,
Yep.
That'll help them out. Because what are you figuring? Are you figuring 40 gets them in or 41? Probably 40, right?
I mean, the thing is, Orlando and Miami and Charlotte have played better. So I'm not sure. I think it may... for a while, I thought 37 could get them in. I think it's going to be more than that. I think it's going to have to be close to 40, which means they're going to have to go about 6-9 in their final 15, which isn't going to be easy because... I'll tell you, it's not just the seven-game road trip, Frank. Then when they come home, it's Milwaukee and Boston.
I know.
It's brutal.
Well, this has always been a thing, and this goes back years now, obviously, with the Knicks, you know, having the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. So, you know, there were a lot of times. I mean, there was one year where the Knicks had the Grammys, and then, you know, the Big East tournament. They're on the road for weeks at a time. But when you're a good team, you could kind of survive that. But when you're a team – like the Nets, it's up and coming. These road trips don't help. You'd rather have these road trips early in the season.
No doubt.
You don't want them at this time of the year. And that's why sometimes with the building, you know, sometimes the business part of it, you know, overrides the basketball part of it.
No,
this is not an ideal situation for them to be playing all these road games. Now, the one thing that helps, say, listen, they're playing the Lakers, and by the time they play the Lakers, because the whole situation with LeBron, maybe he's not even playing
in the
game, maybe by then it's all falling apart. Something tells me, though, the Nets have been so mentally tough this season. I think somehow, some way, they'll figure it out and they'll get into the playoffs, which for them would be a great season.
No doubt about it. Even if it's the 8th seed, I know they got up to 6, they're at 7 now, I don't care, just get me to the playoffs. Frank, I appreciate it.
And one thing about if they played Milwaukee in the first round, I think Milwaukee would beat them.
Yes.
You know, and I love the Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis is the best. That group of players has not won a playoff series together yet, just like the Denver Nuggets haven't.
No, you're right.
So when the playoffs start, those are going to be two highly seeded teams that really haven't done anything yet.
No, you're right about that. There'd be a lot of pressure on them, especially with the season that they're having. They're going to finish with the best record in the NBA. I mean, God forbid they lose game one at home to a Net team. Boy, they'd really be feeling the heat.
Who's,
no doubt about who, that.
Who's your MVP? Don't say D'Angelo Russell.
For the Brooklyn Nets?
No, for the
Oh, for the NBA? Oh, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Not even. You know, I don't have to think about
it. You know what's great about Giannis, too? He's like old school. Like, he's not looking to be friends with other superstars.
Yeah, I know.
All of a sudden, it's so refreshing.
I like Giannis. I'll hate him if I'm playing him in the playoffs, but I like him. I like his attitude that he's got. I like that little the edge he plays with, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, Evan, take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.